Good morning. If we can all come back for call to worship. Call to worship is Psalm 78 today, and it's in our bulletin as a responsive reading. Please stand for this. God commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. Manna rained down on them to eat, giving them the grain of heaven. Mortals ate of the bread of angels. God sent them food in abundance.
God caused the
rain to fall on the heavens and in power let out the south wind. Through divine will, winged birds like the sand of the seas, rain flesh upon them like dust. Sustenance fell within their camp and all around their dwellings, and they ate and were filled. Now our scripture lesson today is Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16. It's in your Pew Bible, New Testament, page 182. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended in the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of the God to maturity, to the measure of full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery and by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. The word of the Lord.
The gospel lesson is the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 24, in the Pew Bible's New Testament, page 92, if you're following along. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the fruit that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then he said to them, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He said that they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The word of the Lord. In our call to worship, you saw that we were reading out of Psalm 78, but we didn't read the whole psalm. If you are able, take time to go back and read the whole rest of that psalm. It's a much longer psalm, and it has an interesting focus. You see, it's telling us and reminding everyone that we've got to teach our children all of the things that have passed. And today, we might have today's troubles and celebrations, but to remember the journey that God has been with God's people over history, it's important for us to do this. And in fact, that's what the psalmist says when he says, Tell your children the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. It's important to recognize that, to recognize that we are not just at this point in time with God, but we are in God's time, which is long and which is great and which is filled with God's grace. God's grace. God's grace. Do you know that word, grace? Grace is when you get loved even though you're unlovable. Grace is what you get and you don't necessarily deserve it because God loves us. Grace is that gift, unmerited, undeserved, unasked for, that gift that we are called to be about as well in loving one another. Love. Think of someone that you don't love very much. We won't use any harsher term than that, but somebody that you don't really like all that well, somebody that's rubbed you the wrong way, could you do something nice for them? Grace gives us the strength to do so. So here is God's grace, and we are called to remember and to remind all generations, the new generations, and each other of God's grace. The psalmist said they forgot what God had done and the miracles that God had shown them. And in the passage, we heard that passage about the raining down of manna from heaven, that the manna for them to eat. We don't know exactly where that term comes from, manna. We're just not, and in fact, in the Jefferson Avenue, the secretary had a little cartoon, and this woman walks up to the priest, and she says, I need the recipe for manna. I'd been stuck on that one. Emmanuel, you have any, Neil, any ideas for the recipes for manna? We're working on it. We'll get back to you on that. The Egyptian word might mean, what is it? They get up in the morning, and it's all over. They look out and they say, what is it? So it might be that that's how it got the name manna, the what is it. The psalmist calls it the grain of heaven. Isn't that a lovely idea? The grain of heaven, eating with angels. And you remember that we place this passage, we have to remember where we are and what we're about. In time, the Hebrews had gradually migrated to Egypt because of droughts, because of different crop failures. Egypt was prosperous and had food and had place. And although they had to be slaves to be there, they at least survived. They could eat. They could find homes. They, even as slaves, was better than dying in the desert. And so they were a people gathered there until God called Moses in the burning bush. Said, go, tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And so Moses goes to them, and you remember the plagues, you remember the journey, and you remember the Exodus, the time that Moses brought the Hebrews out of Egypt. I don't know that he brought all of them. I wonder if there weren't some that stayed behind. I wonder if there weren't some that said, I'm not going out in that desert. It's hot and dry out there. There's nothing to eat out there but sand. Yes, I'm a slave here, but at least I have food on the table. At least here I have a place. I'm not going to go out there and follow this Moses character with leading us in the name of I am. So I wonder if some stayed behind. It's hard to have faith. Change is hard. Change Change is really hard. We know that. After the Passover, after the death of the firstborn, they leave Egypt. They go out into the wilderness. I wonder if at that point in time, Moses didn't say something along the lines of Dr. Martin Luther King. Do you remember what he said? He said, in his I Have a Dream speech, he said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. I wonder if they didn't say something like that as they went out of Egypt into the desert. But that celebration and that joy quickly became a struggle because it was dry. There was no water, there was no food, there was nothing for them. And the people began to grumble. We've never grumbled, have we? We've never said, let's not do this, this is too hard. We've never backed up and said, I don't know what's ahead, and so it's safer to stay and not risk. I have done that. I have been caught in that, and God has kicked me squarely in the backside to get me moving. They go in, Moses provides them water through the gift of God. And they go and they're hungry and God feeds them manna. Sustenance, life itself, food to celebrate. Mortals ate of the bread of angels. God sent them food in abundance. That's what the psalm said. Was it angel food, cake, bread of angels? That's it. Never mind. So we have Psalm 78 and it's juxtaposed against John 6. And here the story is continuing that we've been following, that Jesus and the disciples had been teaching and ministering. They were tired. He said, come, let's come away and rest. Let's take some time for ourselves. But the crowds follow them. Do you remember? The crowds are so excited. The crowds pursue them. And so they're still ministering to them. And there are about 5,000. They're ministering to them. And the disciples say, Lord, we got to do something. That it's almost nighttime and these people have no food. Do you remember? And the breaking of the bread and the feeding of the 5,000 that happened? That's what he's talking about. He said, did you come to follow me because your belly's got full from the loaves? You're just looking for another free handout? Is that why you've pursued me? Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said there? Come, he said, I will give you a different kind of bread. So we turn to that word in the bulletin and I put it in here and it's Eucharist. Somebody said to me, where's communion? All I see is Eucharist. It's not a term we're familiar with, and I kind of did that on purpose. I'm kind of a rascal that way. Pia, I'm picking on Pia. You're not the only one that wondered what Eucharist was. Greek, Eucharistia. It's Greek to me. Greek, that word Eucharist, and it means Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Anybody heard of the word Thanksgiving? What's Thanksgiving? Tell me about Thanksgiving. What do you do on Thanksgiving? You have a feast, Mardella said. What else do you do? We watch football, yes? Come on, fess up. You what? We give thanks. We give thanks. And sometimes I think people have these huge feasts of gatherings and family. And I've been guilty of that, and we're having so much fun, and it's such a wondrous time that we forget to stop and say, Lord, these are blessings from you. These are gifts you have given us. We are blessed. Thank you, God. Thank you. This is Thanksgiving. So Eucharista, the meal, the common meal is about giving thanks, but it has grown to be exclusively that gathering of giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God is the name of that sacrament, Eucharist. Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. People were always hungry in Jesus' time. That time, you in that day and age, every day would be, part of your day would be, how am I going to get enough to eat today? Few of us have that struggle anymore. In our country, there are other places that we need to be aware of, but few did, and every day was about food, and Jesus moves beyond just feeding them. This is not the manna in the wilderness. This is not the food for sustenance and survival. This is another bread. This is a bread of a bread of thanksgiving, of Eucharista. You know the four Gospels? Can you name them for me? Let's do it together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. First three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic. They are very similar. They're structured the same. They seem to follow the same general outline. John is a little bit different. Mike, do you want me to just turn off my personal? I'm not sure if maybe that's what's being... And do you have me on the pulpit now then? Let's see if that'll stop making those... Yeah, we don't know what those tones are. Mysteries of science and technology. Of the four Gospels, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic. They're similar. John is much different. The synoptic Gospels focus on a primary rite for Christianity, something that'll hold us together as Christians. The Hebrews had that. The Hebrews had a central thing that they gathered around. Do you know what it was? It's Passover. The Passover meal. It was vitally important that you gathered with family on Passover. You celebrated Passover together. And some point in your life, still today, faithful Jews will celebrate at least one Passover in Jerusalem. It's there. It's a central and important part of focusing their connectedness with God. So for Christians now, there is another different way of connecting. And for the Synoptic Gospels, we focus around the sacrament of communion. But not in John. Take a look at John. This passage out of John is not in Jerusalem. And it's not a time at the Passover feast. It is completely separate from that because he's talking about the bread of life, but it isn't central to him as the rite of continuance. For him, the foot washing was important. For John, John envisioned that the foot washing would be the rite that we'd celebrate regularly to remind ourselves of our roles of servanthood, our roles of reaching out and serving the world in Christ's name. John's method fell by the wayside. We still sometimes do foot washings. Sometimes we will do hand washings. But Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, continues. And it is important to note that it was during the Passover that Jesus instituted this sacred rite, this sacrament, this gathering time that focuses together as a people. As we gather is not just to remember that Jesus lived, that he was at the Last Supper, that he was crucified, died, and rose again. It is about celebrating his life alive. His life alive then, and his life alive now among us in the Spirit. And so in gathering in Eucharist, we are not just doing something of a remembrance of the past, but we are talking about something of the now, of living in the now, of being the Christians in the now, alive, vital, and filled with Christ through God's grace.